Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are on digital FM, Sirius Satellite Radio, online at npr.org/Bryant Park. And right now we're floating out from that lowrider with the slam suspension, raked out 32-degree fork and scooped out seat. That guy's cool. I'm Mike Pesca. Coming up, opera ripped from the headlines. But first, let's get the latest news headlines from the BPP's Mark Garrison. Or Corva Coleman.
This is NPR.
Thanks, Mike. Israel's confirmed a ceasefire with Hamas, and it's supposed to take effect tomorrow. If it sticks, Israel will start to loosen its blockade of Gaza, which has caused hardship to Palestinians living there. There are reports talks have stepped up to free an Israeli soldier held by Hamas fighters for 2 years. The blockade has been imposed by Israel in an effort to stop Palestinian rocket attacks daily on Israeli civilians. Now Israel's calling on Lebanon to open direct peace talks, including a border dispute over a key piece of land. A Senate panel has heard testimony about how the Bush administration created policies to harshly interrogate terrorism suspects. NPR's Jackie Northam reports in 2002 the Pentagon wanted faster ways to get information out of suspects in the U.S. military prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Military witnesses testified that senior Pentagon lawyers pursued abusive interrogation techniques, such as stress positions and waterboarding. Several of those techniques were later approved by then-Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina criticized the move.
Now, the guidance that was provided during this period of time, I think, will go down in history as some of the most irresponsible and short-sighted legal analysis ever provided to our nation's military and intelligence communities.
There was fierce opposition by lawyers across the military service, but a small cadre of legal advisors in the administration approved of the techniques.
NPR's Jackie Northam. Same-sex couples are beginning to take marriage vows in California. NPR's Mandalita Barco attended several ceremonies in West Hollywood.
Gay and lesbian couples took their vows under tents set up outside the West Hollywood Auditorium, officiated by priests, rabbis, and city officials. They married couples like Joel Sanchez and John Woolsey.
I love you, that's all.
I love you with all my heart.
I love
you.
They held hands and wept as a priest blessed their marriage.
You may kiss one another.
Crowded by news photographers, Kate and Tori Kirkendall wore strapless wedding dresses and held their 5-month-old baby during the wedding ceremony.
Hi, Tori Kirkendall.
Take thee, Kate.
Take thee, Kate.
To be my lawfully wedded spouse.
To be my lawfully wedded spouse.
Like many other couples, the Kirkendalls say they are hoping their wedding is not voided by Californians who will vote in November whether or not to allow same-sex marriage.
NPR's Mandalita Barco in West Hollywood. And the Boston Celtics are this year's champs. NPR's Tom Goldman watched as the Celts trounced the Los Angeles Lakers 131-92 at home.
This was the dominating start-to-finish performance that had been missing from these NBA finals. One could only imagine what kind of game it would have been had the Lakers matched the Celtics in intensity and execution. But instead, Boston out-hustled, out-defended, out-rebounded, out-shot. Did we miss anything? And boy, did they outscore Los Angeles. The 39-point victory was one of the most lopsided scores in NBA finals history. The Celtics grabbed control in the second quarter and never let up. As a result, they made a mockery of all the pre-series predictions of an LA victory. The Lakers never could figure out how to score consistently against Boston's tough physical defense.
That's NPR's Tom Goldman. Remember, the news is always online at npr.org.
This is NPR.